week on Habari Live.
Interview with Sophia Robinson, Vice President of Sigma Beta Psi Sorority, the Alpha Nu chapter in Arizona.
Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Tune in on all platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. Don't miss this episode. We'll be all the way live.
Habari Entertainment proudly presents Habari Live.
Habari Live.
From Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to the Habari Live Podcast. The show that brings you news, sports, and entertainment for people who love HabariEntertainment.com. Here are your hosts, Aisha, Jimmy, and Damon Dipleen Ellison. Let's get it going. We are all the way live. Live.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yeah. Another episode of Habari Live. The latest episode of Habari Live, your go-to podcast for the Pulse of Phoenix and beyond. Like always, we are all the way live from Paradise Valley. I am Damon Dipleen Ellison.
Aisha.
And Jimmy.
We'll be your guide through the exciting stories and everyday happenings in your vibrant community. Today, we were supposed to have a guest. We were supposed to have, I think, Sophia Robinson, a member of the Sigma Beta Psi sorority, an organization dedicated to community service and empowerment, but it doesn't look like they're making it. That's awesome. It's pretty dope. But yeah, man, let's talk about our week so far. We've had a lot of news. Trump has been in the news big. We have Israel hit back Iran. Not hard, just something to let them know, hey, we can do a little something. What else happened this week?
Taylor Swift dropped a new album.
A double album, right? I don't even understand what that means in the streaming era anymore. I mean, I guess it's just large. There's a lot of songs on it. I guess you can download it, but it's pretty cool. I mean, she's doing her thing, man. She's when she drops something, it's a big deal.
I guess.
Yeah, we also have Drake and Kendrick going at each other. I haven't even been paying attention. Drake dropped music. That's how I feel about that.
The baby, he's accused of pocketing $20,000 from a YouTuber deposit.
Eesh.
Chris Brown dropped a diss track to Quavo and told Quavo on the song when Takeoff died, everybody wished it was him.
What? That's some crazy stuff to say.
Right.
Some really ignorant shit to say. But hey, whatever, man. I expect no less from that dude. I don't know, man. I mean, the hip-hop beefs, they're trying to start it back because hip-hop has been looking really dismal the last couple of years. So I understand them trying to put some type beefs together or something because the sales have not been what it is. But like I say all the time, man, I'm not a big Drake fan. I think he's a R&B singer. Some people call him a hybrid, but you can't sing half your songs and then talk about I'm a hard rapper. I mean, it's tough for me to take. I don't know, man. It's just tough, man. His disses and stuff is, I don't know. That's my opinion, man. Everybody else loves him, some Drake, and they love him, his love songs. And I'm from an era where the rappers are, you know, rough, right, man. You know,
rappers rapped and singers
right,
sang.
And they didn't like singers. They would disrespect that, you know, but in the early 2000s, you know, it started switching up a little. But I don't know, man. But he put out disses. What you think about him, Jimmy? I didn't even listen to him.
I like Drake's diss. I ain't gonna lie. I did like Drake's diss.
Was he singing? Hey, boy.
he was rapping. Nah, he rapped.
Yeah, he's so sucky. But anyway, as long as he's people like it, I guess, man. I don't know what else to say really about it, man. But let's go ahead and run the Habari News Weekly since we don't have anything else to do.
this week's Habari News Weekly with Damon Dipline Ellison, sponsored by
one of those air horns. We need one of those. You don't like those?
I thought we had one.
Everybody had one of those. We don't have one. That's what we got. Whatever. So man, what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about this this story that we were discussing this week. And this basically talking about something that we have discussed before. The children caught in the crossfire, the impact of gun violence. And you know, a lot of people argue with me that you know, it's not about the kids, it's mostly about teenagers. You know, I guess once you're a teenager, they don't care about you anymore. You're not a kid. But, you know, these are the same people. I don't even get into that. But it's just kind of weird just that, you know, how they blow it off. Everyone blows off gun violence. And they look at it as okay because it's a part of being free in America and, mm-hmm. and being having to have a gun. But do we really want our kids to suffer because we're our fears of each other and that these kids are getting their hands on weapons? And it's just been terrible, man. Today we're going to dive into a sobering topic, the devastating impact of gun violence on children. And it's a subject that's not only tragic, but demands urgent attention. A pediatric surgeon stated, "Treating gunshot wounds on a children was not what I expected when I entered pediatrics. It's heartbreaking to have to tell parents that their child has died from gunshot wounds. We created this problem, mm-hmm. so we should fix it,
right?
But you know, everybody has guns. You know, we don't. There's no test to make sure that you can handle a gun. There's no test to make sure that you're going to be safe. There's nothing. You know, at least with cars, everybody want to compare guns to cars. But with a car, you have to pass a test. You have to go through eye tests. You have to make sure you can pass the written and the physical test." There's none of that with a gun.
Right.
You just get it, go on home, and just do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a problem, though. But it's on you. Oh, you don't have this? Oh, my bad.
No, I don't have that.
So last year alone, over 100 juveniles were registered as gunshot wound victims in Washington, D.C., with a significant number of these incidents resulting in fatalities. Gun violence has become the leading cause of death among American children and teens. American children and teens. I want you people to hear that because a lot of you have been just, oh, it's just teenagers. It's just teen. I'm arguing with them how it is children and teens, but they don't want to hear that. So according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, thousands of children and teens are shot and killed or injured each year, with many of them being innocent bystanders. The statistics are staggering. And the consequences are devastating. Amidst these alarming numbers, the question arises, what can be done to stop this crisis? How can we address this? Some advocate for stricter gun control measures, while others believe that education and training are the keys. States like California, yeah, both. States like California and Illinois have taken steps to restrict the marketing of firearms to children, recognize the need to prevent easy access to guns among the youth. As the debate continues, one thing remains clear. We cannot afford to ignore the impact of gun violence on our children. It's time for action, for change, and for the safety of our future generations. And that's real. That's the future. What Whitney said, I believe the children are the future, man.
Right.
Right. The children are the future, bro. And we have to make sure that the children are growing up with a safe environment, man. I just don't remember a time when people didn't care this much about their kids because they fear their neighbors.
Right.
It's crazy, bro. We've
gone from all your neighbors can help discipline the children in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Don't say nothing about my kid. Don't touch my kid.
Man, I mean that is definitely a big topic that we've lost the community family touch. Mm-hmm. It can't. No one in the community can talk to a kid anymore. You're scared that the parent's gonna come and jump you and talk to you bad because you asked the kid to stop doing something they wasn't supposed to be doing.
Right.
Now the kid is never wrong.
Yep.
That's the new way of parenting. Mm-hmm. My kid is never wrong. There's nothing he done is wrong. And if you tell my kid he's doing something wrong, he's gonna go back and tell mom, and mom is gonna come back yelling at you.
Yep.
Telling you to leave my kid alone. Don't tell him what to do. Like, we've lost it, man.
And, you know, I didn't even really remember that until I was watching an episode of Lizzie McGuire yesterday. And every single one of the neighbors on the block would always knock on the door and have the son grabbed up. Here's your son. He in my yard doing dumb shit.
Right.
I've already disciplined. Now it's your turn.
Right. And what nowadays the parent, why you got my son like that? It don't matter what he did. Like that's the attitude now. The attitude is my kid can do whatever he wants. And I don't know, man, what's going on that? I mean, it's only I can discipline my son. But the thing that you have to understand is this. When your kid grows up, when they go to school, mm-hmm. when they go to job, you're not going to be the person that's going to be able to discipline them.
Right.
The job is going to discipline them if something goes wrong.
The school is going to discipline them.
So you're going to have to let that kid know that there's going to be other people that's going to say, hey, that's not right, and try to keep you straight.
Right.
Now they got the parents fighting against the teachers. They don't want to hear what the teacher's saying anymore. They don't want to hear that. Oh, it used to be my mother...
Quick, let me come up there. I'll be up there tomorrow. Man, don't let them know I'm coming up there. God. I'm going to be up there and I'm going to sit in the class for the whole day.
She believed what the teachers told her. It didn't matter what I said. The teacher said I was messing up. That's all that mattered.
Right.
Nowadays, all those teachers, they mess with my kid. Like, it's just a whole different scenario now. And I don't understand what we think is going to be the outcome of this, that we're so protective of the discipline of our kids. I understand if somebody put their hands on your kid for no reason or something bad. I understand that the school has done things that are incorrect. I'm not saying that they're perfect, but it seems nowadays that we're always on the defense. So the kids are always in the right. They can't always be right. Kids do wrong things. Just like we were kids, we did wrong things and lied. We know how it is.
Yeah.
I know what I was doing back in the day was shady, lying, doing stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing in class. I knew I was messing up, but when it came to my OG, I would just lie. And that's what a lot of kids do. And we nowadays, we're on the side of the parent, of the kid instead of the grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird time, man. So what was our next story here?
Talk about Trump paper stack.
Oh yeah. We got the next story here. We have Trump's paper stacking, politicking, and courtroom naps, a comedy of errors. Yeah, man. The jurors have been selected for Trump's trial in New York for his mm-hmm. hush money payment trial, but it has been it's been a lot has been happening. It's just crazy to see a president. This is the first time that a president has been through this. And, you know, he has the audacity to call someone else a bad president when he's facing trials,
right?
Several trials throughout this year. So welcome back to another segment on Habari Weekly. Today, this segment, we're going to delve into the latest antics of none other than the former president himself, Donald Trump. From paper stack politicking to courtroom naps, it's been quite the spectacle.
Yeah. In the midst of his hush money trial in Manhattan, Donald Trump has made headlines once again. This time it was for leaving the courtroom with a conspicuous stack of papers in his hand. Donald Trump said that these are stories from legal experts saying how this is not a case and that this case is ridiculous.
Oh, the classic paper defense maneuver. because nothing says innocent like waving around a stack of papers, right? This is what this dude do. Just he's done this a couple times with the stacks of paper, and they're usually empty
blank pieces of paper.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, it seems that the courtroom's environment isn't quite conducive to keeping everyone awake. Reports have surfaced that Trump appears to have dozed off during jury selection with his head drooping onto his chest.
And he called a dude Sleepy Joe.
Right.
We got to call you Sleepy Don now, right?
Yep, Sleepy Don. Donald Trump said that he's supposed to be in New Hampshire, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, etc. But, you know, he's been in court on trial all day, and that the trial is a really unfair trial.
This you made this, bro. Looks like the courtroom snooze test is cramping Trump's campaign style. Who knew being a defendant could be such a buzzkill for a campaign? This is a bad timing for Trump and his camp, trying to get his campaign going, and he's staying in court the whole year.
Yep. With the jury selection underway and unresolved questions about Trump's social media activity, the trial continues to captivate audiences. But the burning question remains, can Trump keep his eyes open through the long slog of a criminal trial?
Well, I don't know, man. It seems Trump's legal drama is serving up more than just courtroom tension. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Trump Show, where anything can happen. In fact, in more somber news, someone set themselves out on fire outside of the New York courtroom. That person passed away this morning. Mm-hmm. So it's been a crazy house at this campaign. People out there protesting. There's some for Trump, there's some against Trump, but it's just been a mess, man, what's going on out here. And hopefully they can figure out what's going on and get this trial over with fast, man, because it's just a spectacle.
They want the trials to go on for as long as possible, is my guess. The longer they keep him in court, the longer he stays off the campaign trial.
Yeah, but these people are not in cahoots. These are things that are separate situations.
Right.
Each case is its own case. For Joe Biden, yes, he would want them to stay in court as long as possible.
Right.
But with how many accusations he has going against him right now and how many trials that he has going, he's going to be busy in the courthouse, unfortunately for him.
Unfortunately
for him. So let's get into today's topic, man. When we talk about what's going on in the world, what's going on with relationships and couples. And we like to talk about navigating the financial harmony and giving tips for couples on their financial, you know, how to live together financially, share finances, and not want to kill each other. So today on Habari Live, we will delve into the topic that affects many couples, managing finances together. Money can often be a source of tension in relationships, but with the right approach, it can also be a tool for building trust and mutual goals.
I mean, you know, couples also often find themselves grappling with financial issues, from budgeting, saving for the future. So we're here to provide you some tips for managing finances as a couple and avoiding conflicts related to money.
Yep. Communication is key when it comes to managing finances as a couple. You sit down together regularly, discuss your financial goals, your budget, and your spending habits. Being transparent about your financial situation can help build trust and prevent misunderstandings.
I mean, creating budgets together is crucial, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to outline your monthly expenses, including your bills, groceries, and your savings goals. Then you're going to allocate funds for each category, and you're going to stick to that plan as much as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to set some short-term and long-term financial goals as a couple, whether it's saving for a vacation, buying a house, or planning for retirement. Having common objectives can help you work together towards a secure financial future.
I'll get this one. Address any existing debts as a team. Develop a strategy for paying off loans and credit card balances together. Consider consolidating debts on seeking professional advice if needed. So in conclusion, managing finances as a couple requires open communication, shared goals, and the willingness to work together. By implementing these tips, couples can navigate financial challenges and build stronger relationships. So, you know, you and I, we usually do everything, you know, together, you know, and you know, I hear a lot of people talking about 50-50 and they don't, some women talking about they don't want to pay for anything. We do whatever it takes to get it done. If I need to pay for this or you need to pay for this, that's what's going to happen. Right. We're doing whatever financially it takes. It's not a situation where we're sitting around being selfish, thinking about what I need for myself and how I need money to go. We're supposed to be a couple. You're supposed to do these things together. And it kills me how so many people are always thinking about themselves when it comes to a couple situation. And you're married and you're thinking about, I want my money to myself where I can go spend my money. Like, that's crazy to me. We're supposed to be doing whatever it takes to get it done, to make sure the bills are paid, to make sure that we're getting to a better place and not staying at the same line forever. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be, we've been down here forever. We should be getting better at saving money. We should get better at of keeping money.
Right.
It shouldn't be a situation where you're wanting to go spend all, blow all your money on your own because you felt like you deserve it. Like, this is not how it works. How it works is making sure that your kid is taken care of, or kids, number one, rent is paid, all bills is paid. It doesn't matter who pays them. It matters if they are paid. We're supposed to feel good at home that, hey, our bills are taken care of, we're chilling, now let's go have some fun.
Right.
It shouldn't be stressing because I think I should be being able to buy more clothes for myself because I like, that's just selfish. And people hollering they don't want to do 50-50, you're just selfish. You're going to do 100% by yourself. And that's more ignorant.
Yep.
If it takes 50-50 for the bills to get paid, then that's what we do. If the man makes more money and he needs to pay more because he makes more, then that's what needs to be done. Right. If the woman is making more money and the man is making a little less and she's paying more, well, that's what needs to be done. Whatever it takes, man. This is a situation where nowadays a lot of people are homeless. We're mm-hmm. seeing the numbers skyrocketing. And we're seeing what the government is doing. They're just kicking them to the curb. They don't care about what's going on with people at all. So you're going to be homeless and you're going to be out of there. And no one's going to be there to help you. There's no programs to help you from being homeless. Unless you're a woman with a kid, I mean, those are the best odds. Men, you're stuck. that's what you have. There's no programs for us.
I mean, yeah, that's a real tough one, because in a sense, you want to as a relationship, you both want to feel like you do have some individuality inside your relationship.
But that shouldn't be the most important thing in your relationship.
The best way to go about it is to maybe have a boundary. Maybe say, we're not going to spend X amount of money without letting, once it comes to this amount of money, maybe let the partner know, like, hey, I'm going to spend, you know, whatever it is. And
we always communicate on what we're spending.
I know, that's us, but I'm just giving an example. Like, maybe this might help somebody else. Maybe you can say, it can be, hey, if you're going to spend $100 or more, let me know, or something like that. But
we've never had that discussion. We just do that because that's just normal stuff. If you're going to spend a whole bunch of money, you should talk to each other to see if there's anything that I may have forgot that needs to be done
or paid or taken care of.
Right. Or something. And you should always talk to each other because it may be something that you forgot about or something that you're not thinking about.
Right.
That's why you're a couple. Somebody's supposed to have your back to make sure, hey, you may not want to spend too much because you know we have this thing here, or we know we didn't put back enough for savings, or whatever the situation is. You have to make sure that you're doing something. Man, I might have savings set aside and investments set aside that you don't 100% know what those investments are. But I tell you, I have investments going. I got stuff that I'm saving and got working on that's working. I do that, but I let you know, you might not know exactly what my portfolio consists of, but you know that I'm doing these things. You don't ask me how much money I'm putting in it or how much money I have on it, but I let you know that I'm doing these things. And that's all you have to do. Just like I said, you got to have communication. If you're not communicating, you're going to fail. And you can't keep things a secret and be like, well, this is my business, this is my money. If that's the way you want to be, just stay single. Just stay single, because that's a single mind state. I know a lot of people, but dude, we have separate bank accounts. A lot of people have
joint
bank accounts. We don't have to have accounts together because we feel as though we trust each other. And I know I can trust you. You know I'm not going to blow up all my money and just be like, oh, the rent wasn't paid? My bad. You know, we're gonna take care of what needs to get taken care of first.
And then whatever's left is our play money.
Right, exactly. But business is first, man. And you can't mess up all your money then come looking at your woman or vice versa saying, hey, I spent up all my money. Can you take care of rent this month? When you know that person don't have it or what the situation is. Right. You just got to communicate, man, and have a plan. So a lot more people are doing this, I hope. I know you and I, we practice that, and I think that we do okay. We could always do better at saving, better for investing for the future for things. Always could get better. So we can always talk to a financial person. That probably would be big to do that. I think that more couples should do that. Because I don't think that enough couples do, because it can help you managing your finances for the future, mm-hmm. for getting a home. And you know, that's something that black couples are lagging behind in right now when it comes to ownership, when it comes to having your own home. We don't own in the same percentages as other demographics. So we need to get it together, man. Stop being so selfish, man. We got to stop spending so much money on frivolous things, rims and smoking up all your check, or buying a whole bunch of bundles and eyelashes, whatever it is that we're making money on, man. We need to just scale it back a little bit to invest in
sometimes
things for the future.
You may need to sacrifice a year's worth of bundles just so that way you can have that down payment for your house.
I mean, we're so caught up in how we look and everything, but man, we have to think about this building for the future for our kids, so our kids can have that upper hand that we didn't have. We always complaining about how the other kids had this and they had their dad left them this and they left them with this. Well, we can do those things too. We see the things that's happening. We see how the other kids are getting ahead in life and how they're having more because their parents left them more. And it gave them a head start to be able to get in front of some of the things that you may face in life. And to do it alone is hard. Very hard. And everybody doesn't come out successful, man. Some people just can't take it. And some people are just poor for life, mm-hmm. like most of us. That's how it goes down. You start off poor, you can probably gonna end up poor. Not every it's I know they try to say America rag the riches, but nah, man, that's just usually not how it goes down. You know, everybody think they're gonna be the next Elon Musk, they're gonna be the next one. Everybody thinks that in America for some reason. But that's not the reality. The reality is you're gonna struggle. And you're gonna struggle until you get to a certain point and you worked a certain amount of hours, or you put in a couple some you've been educated. And then that gets you into a higher bracket. It's hard to just come out making money if you don't have someone that you're under, or someone showing you the way.
Right.
Or if someone's
a mentor, a coach,
something, somebody,
advisor, a consultant.
It's hard to just come out of high school and just oh, I'm making 80,000, 70,000. Right. How? Most of us got to start at the bottom working at these crappy food places until we can get a resume and people can see, oh, he goes to work. Oh, he shows up. He worked here for a year. Oh, okay. We may take a chance on him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people who get into these jobs is mostly nepotism. Their family knows somebody. Their homie knows somebody. They knew somebody who knew somebody, and it got them into that position.
Yep.
And a lot of us from these, from the hood, we don't have that. We don't know the guy that worked at the big corporation.
Right.
So we don't get those opportunities. So, man, it makes it hard, man. But we have to, when you have a partnership, you have to do everything you can to make sure that you and your significant other are building for the future. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing that and you're just sitting around spending up all your money, I don't know what you're doing. You got to figure out something, because that's just selfishness to me. Let's take a break, bro. We'll be back with more Habari Loons Weekly. Welcome back. So now let's get into the hot mess.
Get ready for the week's Hollywood Hot Mess with Aisha Rowan. Sponsored by...
No one, but if you do want to be a sponsor, contact us at info@habarientertainment.com. We have all type packages for all type pockets. And we can help you on any situation if you're a company to get the word out about what you're doing.
Most definitely. This week, we're going to go ahead and jump into Taylor Swift's new album.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is causing a little bit of controversy.
Oh, God.
I know you ain't want to talk about it, but we have to. All right. So her new album is already causing some controversy, and it's not about an ex-boyfriend this time.
Oh, goodness.
So it's all got to do about what Taylor Swift's view of American history looks like.
Okay.
They're saying that the singer dropped the torture poets department on Friday. And while many fans are jamming out to the tunes and diving into hints about Maddie Healy and Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, they said she was dissing Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, they did say that. Others took aim at her song, I Hate It Here, which includes some eyebrow-raising lyrics. In the song, Taylor sings, my friends used to play a game where we pick a decade and we wished that we could live in that decade instead of this decade. And she'd always say the 1830s, but without all the races and getting married off to the highest bidder.
Right.
I mean,
well, that's a lot of the wishing, but yeah.
Right.
I mean,
that really wasn't a simpler time.
I don't know, man. Some people want to live in a time where they don't have to worry about the internet and cable and all this stuff. They just want to live in a time where you can just chill out.
And but, the kids went outside. So it to me, that is more like the 1970s,
80s. Hell no, that ain't the 80s, 70s, and 80s. That shit was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
But the thing is really, you know, you back then, man, you could get scalped by the natives who could run up on you and kill you at any time. You had so much going on, man. It was a different time, man. It's hard. But I understand what she's saying, man. But can you think about what decade you would go to if you had to go back to one?
I don't know. Me, I'm probably going back to the 90s.
Yeah, that's about the farthest I would go back. In the 90s was still, I was old enough to remember, people were still pretty backwards thinking and racist.
Right.
And so and the, those people are still alive now. So I don't know, man. It's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 90s is about as far as I go back.
Yeah, that's what most of us say. But, you know, people who are a little bit older, they live in a little bit older times, they would say maybe the 60s or 70s, but the 60s were crazy. Maybe they was killing everybody, right, man. So what you got next?
The baby.
The baby.
The baby. Yeah.
What's up, Elijah? Yeah.
He's being accused of pocketing popular YouTuber's $20,000 deposit for an appearance on his channel.
Mm-hmm.
A claim that the Bob rapper isn't denying, but says he's simply collecting a fee to pay for his wasted time.
Mm. They'll be going to court.
The guy's name is Michael Wright, who also goes by Lil Mike and runs the YouTube series 20 Versus 1,
mm-hmm,
and posted a surveillance video of the baby supposedly showing up for the skit only to back out of his obligations and keeping the money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they said that a verbal dispute between someone in Lil Mike's camp appeared to have taken place over a fart sucking joke. I don't know what that had to do with the money. Maybe that was the skit. I have no idea. But
who knows with these kids,
that is what led him, the baby, to walking out the door and keeping the money.
Okay.
So I mean,
so he was on the show, got mad about something that happened and left.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid him $20,000 to be on the show.
$20,000.
Goodness, man.
That was just a deposit. So
they probably owed him more at the end.
Right.
Goodness. I heard him say he used to charge $300,000 for every person to
verse. For every appearance.
For verse. No, a verse on a song. And now it's down to $150,000. It's cut in half, $150,000. So he hopefully he hasn't, I'm thinking that he has a lifestyle that he's trying to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully he's not spending money extravagantly and living all crazy.
So, which he probably is.
Yeah, it does seem like that, Elijah. He's acting like a big baby.
Right.
But hey, man, you know who does business when you does people business with people with the name baby? I don't know. But you know what I mean? Hey, dude's 15 minutes is almost up, man. Unfortunately, man.
Unfortunately.
It's almost up. Unless he drops a hit soon, it's pretty much over for the baby. What's the other baby that's out? Lil Baby. What's the other baby? Everybody, cool thing to do is
call themselves something baby.
Right. Now you used to be little. Then it just, they don't want to be little no more. They want to even be younger than little. They want to be babies.
Sounds next crazy. Next is going to be infants.
Right. MC infant. MC in the womb. In the womb. Ain't even came out. MCC.
Just stop. Because somebody going to take that and be like, all right, that's my name. I like that.
That's how it's going. That's how it's going, man. Like, man, whatever, dog. Anyway, that's all you got today?
Yeah, that's all I got today.
The baby and Taylor Swift, huh? But, all right, man, let's run the sports real fast.
Habari Sports.
Elijah, yeah. You stupid. He gonna say some little embryo.
Right. That's the next rapper names, man. For real. Man, dog,
I'm gonna laugh real hard when somebody come out with that name.
Man,
too.
I'm expecting it because that's that's the route we're going nowadays. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got to get pumped though, man. We got the playoffs. We got the Suns versus the Timberwolves. I was watching.
Who you got, Suns or Timberwolves?
Who you talking to? You asking me?
Mm-hmm.
I got the Suns. I'm from Phoenix.
I mean,
I ain't
you know,
never been to Minnesota. Just, who you got, Jimmy? That's the person.
That's the person I asked. He gonna say the Timberwolves.
Yeah, he gonna say the Timberwolves. He's a hater.
Boo, you still get the womp womp.
Yeah, man. I think we got a good chance, man. We've had a good season versus them. Some of our defenses that we was running on them was confusing the Timberwolves, confusing Anthony Edwards. So hopefully we can keep that up, man. Then if we can get past them, the next round will be even tougher. But welcome to the Habari Live Podcast Sports Edition. We are here to bring you in-depth analysis and predictions of the hottest matchups in sports. Today, we're diving into the playoff preview between the Phoenix Suns and the Timberwolves. With the stakes high and the competition fierce, let's break it down. So, the Phoenix Suns and the Minnesota Timberwolves are set to clash in what promised to be an electrifying playoff series with both teams vying for supremacy. The matchup is poised to be a battle of skill, strategy, and determination. When it comes to the key matchups in this series, the focus shifts to the coaching duel between Chris Finch of the Wolves and Frank Vogel of the Suns. Vogel's defensive schemes have proven effective against the Minnesota's in previous matchups, but Finch has the opportunity to counter with the strategic adjustments, particularly in the handling of the defensive pressures on Anthony Edwards and Bradley Beal. So we're going to try to look and see what adjustments are going to be more crucial for the Wolves or the Suns to succeed in this series. One key adjustment that the Wolves could make is addressing the defensive assignment of Mike Conley on Bradley Beal. Beal's aggressive play style poses a significant threat, and starting to kill Alexander Walker could provide defensive stability right from the start of the series. We'll see, man, because I know that dude is a big part of their offense, and Conley, so we'll see what they do there. As the series unfolds, though, the ultimate prediction looms over both teams. While the Suns have shown progress throughout the season, the Timberwolves are eager to prove their mettle on the playoff stage. And with that said, our prediction for the series is the Suns. I think the Suns will take it in six. That's what I'm thinking here. I would like to see them take it in five, man, but we'll see what happens. Tune in to the next episode of Fari Live after we watch the game today. We'll talk about it next week about what happened and break it down as the playoff battle goes on. So that wraps up sports for today on the Habari Live Podcast. Like I said, stay tuned for more updates and analysis on the latest sports headlines. Until next time, peace. On the sports anyway. But what else we got here, man? Oh, we got, lastly, this is the last report of the day. We about to get up out of here, man. We got Comic Book Corner, so go ahead and run that, bro. Dude, yeah.
Comic Book Corner, sponsored by...
Say if you want to be a part of Habari Entertainment and sponsor us, please contact us at info@habarientertainment.com. We will get back to you with our sponsorship packages, man. It would be dope to get more companies on board, man, for we could try to move this forward, get more reporters, get more journalists, so we can really hit the make a difference for people and really bring the news to you the way we want to. Mm-hmm. This is just the beginning of what we're trying to do. We want to do more and be bigger, but it takes donations. It takes dollars. We thank everybody who do take the time to watch the clips and to watch the videos. We appreciate everyone, man, but we need a little more, man, for we can be better. So let's talk about this week's Tragedy Strikes in X-Men 97 episode. No, that's wrong. We already did five. Don't tell me I messed that up.
I think you might have, but oh my anyway.
Gosh, Hulk isn't perfect. Oh my gosh, that's hard to believe. Oh my gosh.
Dang, I did mess this up.
That's right here anyway, first. Let's clip it.
Anyway, I messed up. I didn't put the right episode on here, but episode six is the episode that we should be discussing. What happened this week was we went more into talking about Professor X. And what he's doing with the Shi'ar and what he's been doing for the last year as he's been gone and out of space trying to cupcake with his old lady. Right. And everybody else dying and getting blown up. And he out there in space chilling. But anyway, he had a couple visions and a couple things that he saw. So he's seems to be headed back to Earth in a hurry, but he's been relaxing, living a good life. They show some of the eternal things that's going on with the Shi'ar and them fighting against the Kree. They show Ronan. They showed a lot. So, this a lot of spoilers here, man. So if you haven't watched
it. I just said, peace. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. So if you don't want to hear the spoilers, it's time to go. But yeah, they showed a lot, man. And it was a very, very good episode. So I don't want
to. It was so good. We had to watch it twice.
Yeah. I didn't want to spoil it too much. But, you got Storm with Forge and they figured things out. And I think that's heading in a good direction, mm-hmm. man. Now I wish it was more episodes, two more episodes left. So we'll be checking that out, man. And, to me, everything's been, every episode has been 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. I haven't been rating them, but they've been really good, man. X-Men 97 is taking me all the way back. And we appreciate what they're doing over there. And, argue with people all online all the time because they get upset about the demographics and the race of the cartoon comic book characters. This stuff is fiction, man. We have seen white people play all type minorities across the world, real people that lived, and they portrayed them in movies, and you guys are getting upset about comic book characters. It's ridiculous. John Wayne once played Genghis Khan. John Wayne played Genghis Khan. The things that we've seen throughout history in America movies is crazy. And for you people to get mad about a comic book character, it's ridiculous, man. So I want to say thank you to Disney, man, for everything they doing with trying to bring in different demographics and stuff. People get so mad about it, but all the best movies are all demographics. So I think that's all we got today, man. Since we didn't have guests come in, we just ran through the stories we had real fast. Anything else you got?
No. Next week, we got Eugene Carter from Legal Shield. And we'll also have guest Delinda Kay of Delinda Kay Productions.
Okay.
And her new movie that just came out.
Right. And that movie, I think, is on Tubi. So, Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. Which should be pretty raw. We will definitely catch up with her. Would love to catch up with her about a movie. I think I watched a little bit yesterday during my lunch break. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to make a movie, man. And when somebody is able to go through all to get the funds, to get all the people together, to direct it, get it edited, it's a lot of tough work, man. So we definitely want to make sure we give her flowers for going through that and making it through a production, because that's a big deal. We appreciate everyone watching today, man. Make sure to subscribe, to share, to tell everyone about Habari Live and what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the news, the media. We want to be a news company to bring the news to you, not in the particular way that we always get it from CNN and Fox, but in the way that's coming to our people and speaks the way we speak. So that's what we're talking about, and that's what we're trying to do, man. We appreciate everybody that watch. I appreciate y'all for helping me out, and Jimmy for engineering, and we're out of here today.
Holla holla.
Peace holla, out.
Thanks for watching another episode of Habari Live.
Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and get updates on news, the podcast, and more. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And don't forget to visit www.habarientertainment.com. See you next week.